Oh my goodness sakes, I like me. This is Dr. Herbert L. Barley, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with a thought for today. Oh my goodness, I like me. Have you ever heard anyone say something like that? Isn't that just the most gross, most unstable thing to say? Oh my goodness, I like me. Whenever you say, oh my goodness, you're saying, oh, what a lovely experience I'm having. Whenever you say, oh, how wonderful, you're saying, oh, how wonderful everything is. We live in a world that is a reflection of our words, or our words are the reflection of our world. What is our character? What is our charisma? What is our beingness? Who are we? Are we wonderful, exciting people? Are we people that the world thinks, wow, I'd like to have other people in my world like that. I'd like to have people in my world who are always so filled with light. And you say to yourself, my goodness, I would like to have everybody in the world be just like Mr. Obama, you know, with his charisma and his magic. And I assure you, that would get tiring very quickly. He is a firehouse. He is a very busy, very dynamic, very active fellow. And to have him in your world, unless you were married to him or unless he was part of the family, he would be too much, much too much. And we too are much too much. We too are much too much when we're in our teaching role. And we seem to all be in our teaching role far more often than it would be nice to do. But we are. We're always out showing everybody in the world how wonderful we are. We're showing everybody in the world what great people we are, what thoughtful people we are, what considerate people we are. And we want a pat on the back, and we want everybody to say, yes, that was good. Yes, you're wonderful. Yes, thank you. Oh my goodness, thank you. You know? When a waitress brings your food to the table, do you say thank you? Or do you just go on with your conversation as though that is her job and her responsibility? Her job and her responsibility is to bring the food to the table. Her job and her responsibility is to make sure that you got coffee in your cup. Her job and her responsibility, her tip is what she gets for her thank you. That's what she gets for her thank you. But you don't. You don't get a tip. Somebody comes to the table and does something nice for you, and you look up and you say, it's about time you did something nice for me. It's about time you... And you can be sure that person isn't going to do it again. They're not going to come around to your table and do nice things. But if you look up at them and say, you're the most thoughtful, considerate person I have ever known. Thank you so much, you know. And she, well, I always bring coffee to people, you know, especially when they're drinking it, you know. I always get their cup filled and stuff like that. And you say, well, but it's just so nice of you. Here, I didn't even have to ask you. I didn't even have to think about it. You just are always doing such nice things. You must be the best waitress in the whole place here. Well, you know, you say it a little facetiously, but you mean it in part. But she says, wow, isn't it nice to have all of my customers treat me like that? Isn't it nice? Why does a waitress do that? How can a waitress do it? A waitress does that by being unobtrusive. She doesn't go to the customer and say, would you like some more coffee? She sees her cup is almost empty and she fills it. And she, I don't want any more coffee. That's okay, you know. But they don't say they don't want any more coffee once she poured it, because they don't want her to think that, you know, it was done uselessly. And then they try to drink it sometimes. But the thing is, we are the kind of people we are. Are you the kind of people that everyone likes to serve? Are you the kind of person that everyone likes to come and do nice things for you? Are you the kind of person that everyone wants to do beautiful things in your life and bring beautiful gifts to you and say nice things about you to you and about you to others, you know? Are you the kind of person that the world just thinks, wow, isn't that a wonderful person? Now, back to Mr. Obama. What does the world think of him? They think he's great and they think he's terrible. They think he's great when they're doing things, when he's doing things that they like, and they think that he's terrible when he's doing things that they don't like. Now, big business is objecting to him in many ways, and little business sometimes objects to him. And then the people object to him about the Medicaid, Medicare, medical programs. And the thing is, he is doing his utmost to take care of the total program and put it in order. And if you see the steps along the way, sometimes you wonder what's going on. And you don't realize that he has to allow it to be step by step, because that's the way the government works. Well, how about you? How about you? Who are you and who am I? What's our personality? What is our beingness? Are we wonderful? We watched, what's the name of the show we watched last night?
A Wonderful Life?
We watched A Wonderful Life with Jimmy Stewart. And it's an old black and white movie. And in the Wonderful Life, the whole theme of the movie is that good will come out, even though it doesn't look so good along the way. And the part that he played was not, he didn't really want to do the job he had, but he caught his father's love for people. He caught his father's love and respect for people and their right to be a family and right to grow up together and right to have dignity. He caught them, but he still didn't like doing it in the way that his father did it. But he carried on the tradition of his father, and he had the respect of the people because his father had their respect. His father was always there whenever the people needed him, and his father always was there. I think the key to the whole movie was in the first couple of scenes. In the first couple of scenes of the movie, Jimmy Stewart was a boy working in a pharmacy. And the pharmacist just got notice that his son, his beloved son, had died of influenza. And this broke his heart. And he wasn't able to see clearly what he was doing in his pharmacy. And Jimmy Stewart recognized what he did. And he tried to tell him, but he wouldn't listen. And so Jimmy Stewart says, "What can I do?" And he looked up on a sign on the wall. It says, "Whenever you need an answer, go and see Dad." And it meant Dad's root beer or something like that, you know, but go and see Dad. So he immediately ran to his father. He wanted to get the advice of his father. He couldn't get the advice of his father because his father was very busy himself at that moment. And so he had to come to his own advice. And the advice that he came to was the advice that he stood by all of his life. He could not allow what he knew was a mistake being made that could harm somebody else. He could not allow it to be. And he had to go and tell the pharmacist that he made a mistake, even though the pharmacist was emotionally out of bounds, you know. And so he told the pharmacist. And the pharmacist boxed his ears and just slapped him around and told him, you know, "You can't say things like that to me." And finally, the boy got across the pharmacist that he had put something bad in the medicine. He knew that. He just knew that. And the pharmacist had the integrity to stop, taste it, and realize it was bad. It was poison. And he went to the boy and he said, "Thank you, thank you, thank you." Now, that was just the real first step of the whole story, the foundation of the whole story. It was the key upon which the story was built. He didn't know all the answers, but he always sought to do the very best. He sought to be his very finest and best under all circumstances. He's a normal, ordinary being, but he was a special, ordinary being. Now, we admire them, and we sometimes think, you know, why is he being so unhappy? Well, he's fighting against what tradition tells him he should do. He should have one of those nice houses that they're building for the people, you know. He should have one of those nice houses that his home, building and loan was doing. And you see, but he knew he didn't want that. He knew that that's not what it was to be. His wife wanted this other house, which was a terrible thing. But to her, why did she want it? What was the word? It was romantic. She wanted this beat-up old mansion. It was romantic. It was not worth anything to anybody. A match would have been good for it. But the thing is, she put love in there and made it come alive with something very beautiful. Now, you and I, where do we stand in our life? Where do we stand? Do we have such loving principles? Do we have such loving attitudes that we can have someone else get the credit for something that we have done and not feel that we have done a great thing by allowing them to have the credit, that we just back off? Can we allow ourselves to go for the good of the community like he did? Can we allow ourselves to go for the good of the family or to go for the good of whatever like he did? Or are we looking for our own individual good so completely? Now, what was it everyone admired so about his father and about himself? That even though their organization made a good deal of money, they didn't take money for themselves. They took a wage, and they didn't take a big wage, you know, but they took enough to live on, but they didn't have any extra. And here his friends, who were not as brilliant as he was, were making hand over fist money. Mm-hmm. And how he could have taken the money that he had and invested it in this thing and been quite wealthy, but he didn't. Now, why didn't he do these things? It wasn't his nature was to give. His nature was to enjoy, but he didn't need a lot of stuff. He didn't need a lot of big cars. In fact, he drove the same car for a long time, and that was a Model A. And or like a Model T. But the thing is, it was an oldie and a goodie. But the thing is, what was going on? What was going on? Now, you say, as you look at the pictures today, and as you look at the movie today, did they really have old cars like that driving around when the newer cars were out, you know, when the 30s were there? Yes, they did. I had one of those cars. In fact, I had several of those cars. And they were old, but they were old then, but still they worked. Because all you needed was a piece of baling wire to keep it together. And it always ran. It always ran. The thing is, you don't, for us today to look back at a story like that, which is a generous story, can we see it in its beauty and its simplicity? Or do we say, well, that was then? Well, now you can have that same quality about you, if you wish. We can have that same integrity about us. But would we do it? Would we do it? Could we turn down an outrageous amount of money as a salary and a lovely house and everything just for integrity, as he did? At that time, $20,000 a year was a lot of money. The houses were $5,000. Mm-hmm. And it was quite something. It was quite something. And people could live for weeks on $20. It's amazing. And even less. And people did live for even less. But the thing is, we can't conceive of that. But we can conceive of it now. Think of now, with houses costing, you know, hundreds of thousands and millions of dollars, and people don't have that kind of money. And they are living in a society that is based on that type of a value. And so food values and gas, what is gasoline, you know? We say gasoline, $3, $4 a gallon, my gosh, that'd never be. Well, it was. from time to time, it jumps up to $3, and it has been at $4. But the thing is, it's outrageous, unbelievable. I mean, the world stops moving, but that's okay. That's all part of the game. Mm-hmm. And in the stopping moving, we reach out and give our friends a hand. We reach out and give our friends a helping hand, and we don't want them to say thank you. We just reach out because, hey, I'm going your way. You want to ride? You know? And we're just friendly, open, beautiful people because that's the integrity of who we are. Now, can we do that? And the answer is 100% no. We cannot do that because we haven't trained ourselves. Now, Ellen is learning our philosophy very nicely. And Ellen still has trouble struggling with it. And the other day, we live right on the border of Mexico here, a mile away from the Mexican border. Many international travelers come through our property attempting to get into the United States without being caught by the Border Patrol. And sometimes the Border Patrol run into drug smugglers who even shoot Border Patrol officers. And that's rare, but it happens. Now, because one officer was shot, this made everyone feel quite unhappy and very fearful. And one officer was saying to Ellen, as she was telling him about some need that we had, that he's afraid to go to work sometimes in the morning, you know, because he doesn't know what he's going to be running into. And Ellen said, well, you can be in charge. What do you mean, be in charge? I'm a Border Patrol officer, you know. And she says, well, we here on the campus surround ourselves with the pure white light of love. And every person who comes on this campus is a guest. Every person who comes on this campus comes with love in their heart. And if they're international travelers, they just eagerly move through. They don't want to fool around at all here. They just want to go on and get into America and start earning some money. And if they're smugglers, they don't want us to know they're here either. They want to be secretive. And occasionally their catches were found, you know. But Ellen said to the officer, when you go to work every morning, you just say, I surround myself with my pure white light of love, and all my ways are peace, and all my paths are pleasantness, and so it'll be. Now, she said, that's what we do, and it works for us. He said, my God, I never thought of that. That's a good idea. I'll try that. Well, now, she hasn't seen him since, and perhaps never will. When we plant seeds, we don't expect to see them grow. We don't expect to see the harvest. We just plant seeds because that's our nature. Now, if Ellen would say that, go over to the Border Patrol offices and give a lecture to the Border Patrol people on that sort of thing, they'd call her stupid. They'd call her an idiot. They'd call her a Pollyanna. They'd call her just unwise. And yet, we have lived here 20 years better. How many years since 85 in this particular location, but here in the Campo area since 1975? And we know all these things, and none of these things are a disturbance to us. None of these things. Because we surround ourselves with our pure white light of love, and it functions. Now, could you surround yourself with the pure white light of love and say that you are a beautiful being and that you do everything right and not feel self-righteous in doing it? Do you think that the story written about James Stewart there, you know, do you think that story was making him out to be a good fellow? He was a good fellow, but only because of his integrity. He fought it. he said, why should I have to do this? Why? And then he couldn't allow himself to do any different. He had to be the fine quality person he was. When we have integrity, when we have a spiritual quality within us, which we all do, And that spiritual quality is one where we are unconditionally loving of ourselves and our world. Everything functions beautifully. Everything goes along just wonderful. There is not a problem in the world. Oh, we will have solutions where we have to make choices. We will have conditions where we will have to, like Ellen said to the Border Patrol man, surround yourself. We surround ourselves with the pure white light of love. All our ways are peace and all our paths are pleasantness. The guy says, that's a good idea. That's a good idea. Now, can we surround all of our Border Patrol with the pure white light of love and have all their ways be peace and all their paths be pleasantness? Could we surround the entire Border Patrol, immigration authority? Could we surround all the immigration authority with our pure white light of love, have all their ways be peace and all? Could we surround all the President of the United States? Could we surround him with our pure white light of love, all his ways are peace and all his paths are pleasant? Could we surround the Congress and the legislators and all the people? Well, what about just all the people of the United States, you know?
The whole world. Well,
all the people of the United States. Well, that would be wonderful, wouldn't it? Well, we start with us. Yes, we start with us, but the thing is, what about the world? Step by step. Step by step. And when you are big enough to surround yourself first with the pure white light of love, then you can go out surrounding others. But you see, you don't surround others with the pure white light of love. If you surround yourself with the pure white light of love, you are the pure white light of love. And so you can only see the world as the pure white light of love. You can only see the world in unconditional love. You can only see the world as doing everything beautiful and good. There's no conflict. Oh, there are solutions that are working out themselves out. Let's see now. What shall we do with this gasoline? Shall we use the gasoline to run cars? Or shall we use the gasoline to run jets? Or, you know, to go into spaceships? Or what shall we do? Or shall we take corn and make it into gasoline, you know, into a fuel? Shall we take coal from the ground? Shall we take diamonds? Hey, diamonds, wouldn't that be something to make out of burned diamonds? Well, they are. They're doing things, but many of these strange things going on. Don't answer me, but what's the next step? The next step is we don't need any fuel. Everything is already fuel. Everything is already functioning in perfect order. Now, what if you didn't need to heat your house because the temperature is perfect? What if you went into a room and you say, I like my sleeping room cool at night. I like the window open some. And then you just have your sleeping room be cool. And then in the morning, you wake up and you get up and you say, I would like my sleeping room to be a pleasant, warm sleeping room, or a day room. And it would be pleasant and warm. And you go into your house and you say, I'd like my house to be warm and cozy. Everyone who comes in here feels snugly and good. Mm-hmm. I'd like to sit in front of a fire in the fireplace and have the fire burn and not burn. Well, now we use gas in the fireplace, gas logs that they don't burn up, you know. But how about having a fire in your fireplace that doesn't burn but yet gives off heat? And when you're done, you just close your eyes and the fire goes out.
Oh, yes.
You know? And you open your eyes and you say, fire, go. Now, you say, Herb, you are stupid. You're doing dumb things. Hey, can you call cool wet moss, and walk on it? And it's really red hot fire? Yes. And many other things. But the thing is, we name it and claim it. Can we say we have a happy family? Can we say we have a healthy family? I say if any of you want to die, which is okay, do so without any prelude or without any postude. If you're going to die, die, you know, and be done with it. You know, what does it mean to die? To die means to move to another dimension. It doesn't mean to cease existing. Well, why don't we take our bodies with us? Yeah. Or why don't we just dissolve our bodies before we go? Why leave them as something to be buried, you know? And just say, poof. You know, in Samantha in Bewitched, when the mother is coming or going, she goes in a cloud of smoke. And then she goes in a very glorious cloud of smoke. And then her husband is a show-off, and he goes in a cloud of smoke. He's always showing off. She doesn't realize she does the same thing. And she does it even more dramatically, except he perhaps has a little more wind than she does, because that's what he likes to do. But the thing is, it's not so strange. It's not so strange. We look at Bewitched, and we see her wiggling her nose, and her child wiggling her nose, and having magic happening, and we think, gee, wow. And we see them walking through walls. It's not so strange. These things are all ordinary things. The things that we say witches do, as far as Samantha and Bewitched does, those nice things that she does, we say those things are impossible, but they're not. They're not at all impossible. It's just a matter that we have made ourselves too solid flesh. We have made ourselves put limitations on what our body does, and limitations on what we can do. And as soon as we start drawing these limitations off, and we start living our life, if our body says, hey, I hurt, say, excuse me, I see you whole and perfect. If our body says, oh, I'm hungry, excuse me, I see you content and solid. You know, I'm thirsty, excuse me, I see you moist. You know, it is not impossible. Mm-hmm. Because everything is right there. Now, I'm not trying to make a magical, mystical world right now. What I'm working with me on is the idea that this is a world of my attitudes and my self. People look at me and say, Herb, you're a wonderful guy. Or people look at me and say, Herb, you're a terrible guy. Now, what do I have them seeing me? Do I see them as a terrible guy, and so therefore they see me as a terrible guy? They can only see me what I see myself. And if I see myself beautiful and good, do you think that James Stewart in the show saw himself as a terrible man? He saw himself doing everything to his best, to his highest, to whatever he could. He did not see himself being a bad man. He saw himself that perhaps he could have done a little better, but he couldn't have done better with his integrity. His integrity would not allow him to do that. Now, what he would just merely have to shift gears with, and Sylvia thinks she's so smart. 10 years ago, Sylvia thought the house was $10,000 or $15,000, and that was a lot of money. And now Sylvia doesn't think anything about a $1 million house. A $1 million house. I mean, $1 million! And only a few years ago, $10,000 was a lot of money. You see, we have to shift gears. And Stewart didn't shift gears. He didn't shift gears into a more abundant operation. And as they were told, his houses were worth twice what they were sold for. Twice. Now, if they had shifted gears, the people would have thought differently about themselves. They would have considered their worth greater. But, c'est la vie, he made the step that he could. He made the step from what might be called depression into abundance. And he did it step by step. And you know, that was back in the 40s. And the houses in the 40s, and the houses in the 50s, and the houses in the 60s, and the houses in the 70s, and the houses in the 80s, and the houses in the 90s, were all about the same price. There was no great increase in value. You follow me?
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden, boom, somebody had an idea that they should have a great, and that's inflation. Inflation happens time to time, but it goes back to balance. But this inflation that we have now is going to stay fairly large with a great abundance to it. Now, Are we ready to live on that inflated idea? Are you ready to live with the idea that you think your thought and that is done for you? Are you ready to live on it? Are you ready to live on the idea that you're thinking of yourself in Europe and you're visiting with friends in Switzerland? Can you? And you're there? You can think of that, but you don't believe it, you know. But the moment you believe it, the moment you know it is so, and the moment you do it, the moment you do it, and you do it. Oftentimes you don't even close your eyes. You just think of something, and you're there, and you're living that experience. Now, you want to do that as a reality, and you can, and you do. Now, do it consistently. The Mexican people do not have to come to America to make money. The Mexican people could just mentally see their government as an honorable government, see the possibilities of building and manufacturing and developing in their own country as equal to any other country in the world, and better. Not necessarily better, but equal to any other country in the world, and good. And that everybody, the income of the people is the same for the average person in Mexico as it is in America, you know, mm-hmm. and the world. And everybody has an abundance with which to live with. And then the Mexicans wouldn't have to come to America and turn America into a Mexican nation, you know. And the people around the world wouldn't have to go for a free country in America and then try to make it in the image that they left. They try to bring all the old limitations with them and enforce those limitations on this new country, and in so doing they make the new country worse than the old country, because now the new country has the limitations of all these other countries rather than just one. It's bad enough we have our own limitations, but that'll take care of itself too, because we see it done, and we see it done now. Yeah, you may not be the Jimmy Stewart, you may not be the actor in that play, you may not be the play, but you know what you are. You are the creator of your world, and you surround your world with your pure white light of love, and all is in divine order right now. And it is done. And it is done now. Now, it's not a show, yet it is a show, because the theater of today is different from the theater of tomorrow and the theater of 100 years from now. But integrity, honesty, qualities, the qualities of the values that make life worthwhile, that never ends. And so if we build our life on these values, if we build our life on these unconditional love attitudes, we'll be the happiest people on earth. And we will have the greatest riches. And the greatest riches will be, we love ourselves and everyone loves us. Have a lovely day, and know that I love you. I love you. I love you.
I love you.